This is a business radio show where we talk about the craziness of small business. It's that craziness that actually makes it exciting, interesting, and totally unpredictable. This is Business Insanity Talk Radio with your host, Barry Maltz.
Well, welcome to Business Insanity Talk Radio. This is your host, Barry Maltz, and this is the final word in small business. For those keeping track, this is show number 361. This episode is provided by Sage One, an online accounting and business services solution for every small business. It's also provided by Nextiva, the answer to all your business communication solutions in the cloud. Well, why can certain people see solutions while others are blind to them? I believe there are solutions all around us. And in this segment, we're going to talk about how you can spot them. We're also going to talk about, is capitalism still the best way for small business owners, or is there a better way? And what if the difference in your financial success existed not in working harder, not in getting luckier, but existed in becoming more spiritual? And why do your webinars just stink? I'm going to show you how to collect thousands of news leads by doing your next webinar right. But first, what would the world be without the internet? Donald Trump said in the last Republican debate that maybe we should shut down parts of this, and I quote, internet thing. Could your business survive without the internet? Here with a perspective is Dr. Peter Sacco. He's a recipient of the Award of Excellence in Teaching, Lecturing at universities at both in the U.S. and Canada. As a best-selling author, psychology professor, and former private practitioner, Peter has written over 700 articles. He's regularly featured guests on television, radio. He's got a new book out. It's called The Internet Apocalypse, The World Without the Internet, Would You Survive? Peter, welcome to the show.
You know what, Barry, it's an absolute pleasure to be on your show, and for all the listeners, I am so grateful for you guys listening to me today.
Well, you know, I'm a real sucker, those that know me, for a good apocalyptic story. What do you mean by the title, The Internet Apocalypse?
Well, you know what, Barry, the title is actually metaphorical, so to speak. I was invited to speak and to appear at a Comic-Con last year in Toronto, which is a stone's throw away from my house. And I was having actually lunch and coffee with David Morrissey. He was the governor on The Walking Dead.
Sure, of course.
I
love him.
And, you know, we had a good, yeah, great guy. So we were chatting it up for a
bit. During when he was on the show, when he was on the show, I used to wear an eye patch just in his honor.
yeah, he didn't have his eye patch when we were having lunch. So anyways, I was.
Did he really lose that eye, or was that just television?
Walking. Yeah. So I was on the main street there in on Yonge Street in Toronto. And I'm watching all these people with their heads glued to their phones, almost getting picked off by cabs, cars, buses. And I'm thinking, good Lord, this literally is a walking, you know, zombie. It's a walking dead zombie apocalypse mm-hmm. thing where people are just literally brain dead. They're so glued to technology that they're willing to put their own lives on the line. And then furthermore, Barry, we've had a lot of issues with people texting and driving that were causing deaths of other people and, you know, getting hurt themselves. So that's where I got the title from.
And so do you really think that the internet really has disrupted the society, that it's at the point of hurting us more than it's helping us?
No, not at all. I believe it's all about the individual and perspective and moderation. I love the internet. I use it myself. I would be lost in many ways without it, but I would also be able to survive without it. And I think when you use it to accent and complement your life, you know, it's a great thing. But I think the problem is, Barry, are too many people are becoming not only habituated to it, but addicted to it. And when I mean addicted to it, 20, 30, 40,000 text messages a month, pornography, online bullying. And bullying is something that is really near and dear to me. I do a lot of work advocating it, especially on our website, bullyingisforthebirds.com. And we want to stop these, you know, people from getting addicted to the wrong things.
What do you think, you know, given your background, why do you think people have become addicted to the internet and addicted to texting and really addicted to being in their own world while there's all these people around them?
You know what? It's easy. It's convenient. It's instant gratification. You can get attention immediately. And I think, you know, I always joke about this. I thought, good Lord, ever since online social media came, like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, boy, people have their own reality shows going on where they get this attention. People like their posts. People like their pictures. And you know what it is, Barry? It's a sense of, well, I feel important. I feel special. And this is the new kudos for one's self-esteem, and this is where it's gotten addictive for a lot of people.
Well, if you think about it, on Twitter, people are called followers, and they're fans on Facebook. But how really has this overindulgence online really affected interpersonal communications, both in business and outside of business?
You know, that is a great question. I think a lot of it undermines the ability to communicate as humans. I think the internet and texting has taken away from the nonverbal communication skills of a lot of people. And I think a lot of it, too, is if you get really into the nitty-gritty of businesses, businesses are based on somebody's word and trust. And the old ways of doing it is you met face-to-face with that person, you engaged them on the phone, so there was that rapport at a human level. Nowadays, it's like, wow, you get a memo that's a CC'd, email message, or it's sent in a quick Twitter message, and that's where you see a lot of it in businesses. And I think the same thing with humanity, where people are suffering in their ability to really understand the intended messages of other people because it's lost its emotional connotation.
We're talking with Dr. Peter Sacco. He's got a book out called The Internet Apocalypse, The World Without the Internet, Would You Survive? So what would your solutions really be to try to, you're not going to do away with this internet thing, as Donald Trump says. What would you do to balance it in your personal and business life?
I think, and you hit the absolute word, balance. And that's what it is. It's about living your life in moderation, where, like, for God's sakes, you can go to bed without having the cell phone on the pillow next to you. Like, you know, back in the days, kids put the tooth under the tooth, hoping for the tooth fairy to come. And now people put the phone next to their pillow, hoping that, you know, the Instagram or the Twitter fairy is going to come give them a message, and they got to check it. And it literally is. You have to look at it realistically. You know, put your time in on the internet or whatever. Do the proper research, whatever it is. Answer your messages or whatever. But at some point, you just communicate from it and say, hey, okay, now it's time for me to go out in the real world. And when I walk into a place like Starbucks, I can actually sit there, communicate with people. We can verbally to each other rather than us looking all like we're playing Battleship with our phones up.
It was really kind of interesting. A lot of folks listening to the show know that I do a lot of karate, and I walked into the karate school the other day, and there are a bunch of kids, obviously, you know, practicing on the floor, and their parents are sitting in the audience. And not a single one of those parents, Peter, was watching the kids do their karate workout. They're all on their phones. And I thought that was really sad. So what kinds of things can we do to balance this thing out? I mean, one of the things that I do is, like, I don't bring my phone into my bedroom. Or if I go to the karate school, I don't take my phone out when I'm in a certain place. Are there other suggestions that you have?
I think that's what it is. You just leave your phone. If you're going into a place to communicate, or you're going, you know, where there's going to be people, or, you know, other people are going to be cognizant of you, leave your phone in the car, put it in your armrest or your glove box. Same thing if you're going to dinner, shut it off, especially because those people that are meeting you for dinner, they're appreciating and respecting your company. And that's, you know, be human about it. Be, a kind person, considerate. And, the thing with karate, like these people, and I was in karate for many, many, many years. And I know if my sensei would have seen that, he would have actually made comments about it. Like, basically, you know, hey, support your kids. I hope if your phones are out, I hope you're taking pictures of your kids practicing.
Right, exactly.
Or their kicks.
Exactly. You know, one of the suggestions that I have, which I always do, is when I take a vacation, a long vacation with the family every couple of years, during that 2 or 3 week period of time, I don't get on the internet, I don't turn my phone on, I don't use my phone. And sure, I miss some opportunities, but I have to tell you, after a day or two, you really start to communicate with the family and the people around you. So it really does work, Peter.
Bazing, Barry, you just hit it. I think that it's a really cool thing where if you actually are not on your phone for a couple of days, you literally don't miss it as much. I know myself, I do a fair bit of fun stuff in film, acting and TV, where I'll go for shoots for a couple days at a time, and, you know, phones are off, and I really don't care because I'm not a real tech person with my cell phone, and I don't miss it at all. In fact, when the shoot's over or whatever, you know, I go into the car, wherever I've got to go, first thing I don't do is go check my phone. It's usually, hey, I want to go eat somewhere, and I think that's what it is, Barry. It's just when you're engaging people and you realize, hey, I've got the real thing in front of me, the real people, and I've got their attention and they've got mine. Who needs other, the phone or cyber attention?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because I always wonder, how would you survive an internet apocalypse? And I think that it would be hard for most people, but I really believe that, you know, we would figure it out just like we did before.
Absolutely. And I talk about this in the book. I think the individuals that would struggle are the post-1994s, the individuals who are the millennials, that this is what they've been brought up and raised on. But as you said, Barry, we existed without it prior to 1994. We did pretty damn okay. You know, we survived a lot of things. We survived disco, for crying out loud.
Exactly. So, if we can survive disco, Peter, we can survive anything. I got to go. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks so much, Barry.
Coming up, common mistakes that people make when they're trying to build their wealth. This is AM 560. The Answer will be right back.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com traffic center.
Good morning, I'm Rich. Taking a look at the roadways, major problems on the outbound Bishop Ford. We have more information for you now. IDOT is closing, forcing traffic off to eastbound, 8094 with this very serious accident. Though your best bet is still to dive off at 159th eastbound, take that to Torrance, and then take Torrance right onto 8094 to avoid the crash altogether. If you're traveling on the city's west side, don't forget later today, the Hawks will play at the United Center. Also, the Eisenhower inbound at Central getting reports of a crash on the ramp. And as you travel out and about elsewhere, we are seeing that there are no other accidents or delays really to slow you down too much in this early morning hour. Your weather forecast, however, will slow you down a little bit. Blustery with a high of 10 above. It's 4 above with a wind chill of negative 15 at O'Hare. Next updates in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
The weather in Chicago is cold. The weather in Los Cabos, Mexico is warm and sunny. AM 560 wants to send you to Los Cabos with Dan and Amy this April. Enter to win an all-expenses-paid trip to Secrets Puerto Los Cabos Golf and Spa Resort, courtesy of Apple Vacations. The only way to enter to win is through the AM 560 The Answer mobile app. So download the mobile app today and enter to win a trip to Los Cabos.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMoltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
My name is Dr. Howard. I've recommended Balance of Nature for over 15 years because of the excellent results I see in my patients. Balance of Nature doesn't make any claims of treating or curing any particular disease, but I think the results speak for themselves.
When I started on this, I stopped my blood pressure and my cholesterol medicine. My blood pressure after a week since then has been normal, and my bad cholesterol dropped 27 points in 3 weeks, and my overall cholesterol dropped like 25 points. So I'm good. So I'm not taking anything.
The top three New Year's resolutions are health-related. Improve your odds by getting started early with our best price of the year. Call now to find out how to get your free month supply of Balance of Nature. Call 800-2468-751. That's 800-2468-751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com. Use promo code Chicago.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Maltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
So consider this for a moment. What if the difference for your financial success existed not in how hard you worked or getting luckier, but existed in becoming more spiritual? My next guest is the author of a book called The Path to Wealth, Seven Spiritual Steps for Financial Abundance. Since 1982, Mae McCarthy has helped to start and grow six successful companies as large as $100 million in revenue. She's a best-selling author, speaker, university lecturer, and angel investor. She serves on business, philanthropic, arts, and university boards. Mae, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks, Barry.
Now, most traditional entrepreneurs are going to have a hard time just with the start and the title of this book. You seem like an unlikely person to write a book like this because you've had so much financial success, really in a traditional manner.
Yeah, and I will tell you that spirituality is sort of relying on something that you can't define or see. There's three very successful people, which I think you will agree with, who also say that they rely on something unseen, which is your intuition. Bill Gates said often you have to rely on intuition. Steve Jobs agreed. He said you actually had to have courage to rely on your intuition and follow your heart. And Oprah Winfrey has said that she has followed that still small voice of intuition her whole life, and the only times that she's made mistakes is when she didn't listen. And that's what I've done all my career.
And so is that how you define spirituality, as that something you can't see? It's not really religious.
It doesn't make sense. Albert Einstein said that we have an intuitive mind that's a gift and a rational mind that's a faithful servant. But with today's data coming at us at all times and Google so readily available to answer our questions, we disregard anything that doesn't make sense. We want to measure it. We want to see it. We want to analyze it. We want to talk to our friends about it. And we want to Google it. And if we don't see that some sort of gut instinct or thought that flies into our head out of the blue, if it doesn't make sense to our rational mind, we just do nothing. And what I ask people to do is stop doing nothing. Take a look at that and see if you can ask the source of your intuition for another lead. Give me another obvious lead. Show me if this is something I'm supposed to do. And I have countless stories, not only of my own, but also from other people that have taken my workshops or read my book, that if you follow this instinctive intuition, what'll happen is you'll be led down a path to your goals. But it stands to reason you've got to actually have some goals that are worded correctly in order to achieve your goal and have intuition and your subconscious kick in to help you.
So give us an example of perhaps where you put your intuition to work.
I will. Okay. So a couple of businesses ago, I travel a lot. Normally, when I'm running a business, I'm traveling 150 to 200,000 miles a year. And I have my system down. I fly into a city, get my luggage, go to the rent-a-car counter, drive to the hotel, drop off my luggage, and then I go to the closest grocery store that's, you know, maybe 5 minutes away to get water and protein shakes and other supplies that I need for my stay. So I'm doing this drill in Cleveland, and up until that point, I'm doing something that I describe in my book, which is to revisit my goals every single day. I write them down, I read them out loud, and I imagine having completed them. So in this process, one of my goals for this pretty new startup is to have a minimum of $400,000 of revenue by a certain period of time. So I'm in Cleveland, I get in the car to go to the grocery store, and I get this very strong thought. I mean, it feels like it just flies into my head out of nowhere. And it's telling me, instead of going to the 5 minute away grocery store, drive to one that I'm familiar with that's 15 minutes away. Well, that makes no sense. So my rational mind is trying to talk me out of it. And it says, Mae, it's 9 o'clock at night. You're in Cleveland. What are you doing? You know, go to the grocery store that's close by. Your appointment is at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. That's 5 o'clock in the morning, Seattle time. You don't want to be too tired. So my rational mind is trying to tell me not to do it. So I just figuratively stop and say, look, if this is something I'm supposed to do, give me another lead. And, you know, I'm not really generally asking anyone in particular, but I'm asking this intelligence in the universe and in my body to tell me. So sure enough, I get this really warm feeling that, yes, just make the drive. You know, it's 9 o'clock here, but it's only 6 o'clock in Seattle. You're not going to be able to go to sleep anyway. And so I make the drive. As I'm walking into the grocery store, Barry, out comes at exactly the same time someone that I met at a trade show 6 months before.
Wow.
Who represented a very large potential customer. And I had been calling for appointments and not getting any of my calls returned. So we strike up this conversation, and before it's over, I'm invited to come and make a presentation, which leads to another and another, and eventually a contract over $500,000. And I exceed my goal in the time frame that I needed it.
So, May, how do you know when to follow these instincts and when not to?
Well, you get used to. First of all, the most important part is to revisit your goals every single day. Make sure there's countless numbers of scientific studies that will show you that when you put your goals at the forefront of your thoughts and when you are actually going out in the world with those at the forefront of your thoughts, you're going to see more possibilities to make those things true. And what happens is your subconscious is dying to make it true. It hates when you're making claims that you've achieved a goal that you have not achieved yet. So it's really on hypersensitivity to show you evidence of achieving your goals. And then intuition kicks in to, there's a spiritual component there, Barry. There's something that's unseen that's an intelligence that we can't define. And it shows up to help us, and the only way to get familiar with it is to work with it every single day. It's like a relationship with you and I. Have you ever heard the phone ring before and you knew who it was?
Sure.
Okay, so how?
Because they have their own ringtone. You mean back in the day?
Back in the day when you had the same ringtone for
right,
everyone.
And there was no caller ID. Yeah, I remember those days. I remember days of wired phones, too.
Yeah, well, I'm on one, actually. But, so what ends up happening is when things like that happen, it's because you have a relationship with that person. You don't generally hear the phone ring and know a stranger is calling. And the same thing is true with this divine intelligence that comes to us through intuition. If you spend time every single day writing down your goals as though you've already achieved them with gratitude, read them out loud with emotion, and then do something that professional athletes do all the time, which is they close their eyes and they see themselves in their completed goal. Right. This is what Olympic athletes and professional athletes do all the time, and I apply it to business. If I want my financials to be at a certain level, I see myself looking at my spreadsheets with that money in the account. If I want my coworkers to be excited and using their talents and skills in fulfilled ways, I see my employees doing that. So you can program yourself to have intuition in your subconscious to help you more often if you follow those three steps every single day.
So a lot of small business owners out there listening this morning, and they're going to sit down and repeat their goals. Are there some words and phrases that actually can sabotage your goals that you really should stop saying?
Yeah, a lot of us will, and we don't even realize we're doing it. I have a salesperson that worked for me in one of my companies, and she was, she's very, very good, but she was relatively green. And so what she would do is say things like, wow, I'm in this city that I've never been in before. I sure hope I won't be late to this appointment. I really want to make a good impression and not have them buy from my competitor.
Right.
Well, think about that for a minute. I sure hope I'm not going to be late.
Focus on the negatives. I'm going to hit it into the sand trap. I know.
Yeah.
I'm going to hit it into the sand trap.
Exactly. So what you have to do is describe your goals. And a lot of people, when they're making New Year's resolutions, will say things like, I want to get out of debt. Or I want to, or a business will say, I want to be cash flow positive this year, And so the goal is to be wanting, as opposed to, I'm so grateful that I'm cash flow positive, profitable, and debt free.
Exactly. Well, May, I think this is fantastic information because this is one of the parts we miss in trying to build wealth. The title of the book is called The Path to Wealth, Seven Spiritual Steps for Financial Abundance. Where can people get in touch with you or get a copy of the book?
If they just go to my website, there's all the instructions. If you go to maymccarthy.com, since this is now the sort of the beginning of a new year, I've got a gift up there, which is the first three chapters for free. So it's maymccarthy.com.
May, thanks for being on the show.
All right. Thanks, Barry.
Well, coming up, some say that capitalism is not the right way to go into business. Is the word benevolent capitalism the right path for your company? Coming up next is AM 560, The Answer.
President Obama delivered his final State of the Union address, and you heard it here on AM 560, The Answer.
Anyone claiming that America's economy is in decline is peddling fiction.
As the nation faces the continuing threat of terrorism,
we have to take them out.
And wrestles with the issue of gun control.
We did not, in the words of Lincoln, adhere to the dogmas of the quiet past.
What happens in the final months of the Obama presidency?
I know some of your answers to get back to Iowa.
Happens here on AM 560, The Answer.
Fox News Radio, I'm Carmen Roberts. Iran's President Hassan Rouhani says the nuclear deal between his country and the West is a win-win for everyone. Speaking to Parliament, he says the only people unhappy are radical extremists in Islamic nations, Israel, and hardliners in the U.S. Congress. An amazing game between Arizona and Green Bay. The Packers put it into overtime with this last-second Hail Mary pass.
Rodgers is going to roll away. Throws it up in the air, says a prayer, and Janis does it.
Stop it!
Oh, please!
What a catch!
That's insane!
The game on NBC, Arizona scored an OT to win 26-20. The Cards move on to the NFC Championship game. In the AFC, the Patriots beat the Chiefs 27-20 to advance to that championship. Fox News, we report, you decide.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com Traffic Center.
Good morning. I'm Rich. Taking a look at the roadways. Major problems on the outbound Bishop Ford. All traffic forced off to eastbound 8094 due to a very serious accident. Northbound 294 traffic can detour to get off at 159th. Take that east to Torrance, then go south onto 8094 to go back westbound to catch up with northbound 294. Also, the inbound Eisenhower ramp to Central closed with an accident. The rest of the roadways are looking good. Traffic is sponsored by Lead Safe America. Do you live in a historic home? Are you renovating? Your children could be at risk of lead poisoning. It takes just a microscopic amount of lead dust to poison a child. Learn more today at leadsafeamerica.org. Weather forecast, blustery with a high of 10 above zero. It's cold out there, 4 above zero with a wind chill of minus 15. Your next update comes your way in just 15 minutes on AM 560. The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva, simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Four new employees.
A 20% increase in revenue.
Being one of the 9 million women business owners in the U.S.
These are your proudest numbers, your landmarks of growth and success. Sage helps you achieve business milestones with cloud and software solutions that lead to deeper financial insights. Believe in your numbers. See what Sage can do for your business. Visit believeinyournumbers.com today.
More leads. That's what every small business wants, right? If you want to eliminate the guesswork with a truly effective lead generation tool, it's time to try out PureChat. PureChat's simple live chat software is the easiest way for small businesses to answer customer questions and capture leads from their desktop or mobile device. Sign up free at PureChat.com and start generating more leads. PureChat.com, the truly effective lead generation tool.
The holidays are over. It's time to think a little bit about yourself. Maybe treat yourself to a MyPillow. I'm Amy Jacobson, and my mother, myself, and others in my life love our MyPillows. If you've procrastinated, don't put it off. MyPillow is a premium pillow with four different loft levels that's customized to your individual preference. And for my listeners who use the promo code Amy, you'll get two MyPillows for the price of one. It's MyPillow's best offer. You know, it's so important to get a great night's sleep. MyPillow helps with snoring, headaches, neck pain, insomnia, allergies. Plus, it's washable and it keeps its shape and gives you support where you need it most. That's why it's the official pillow of the National Sleep Foundation. For this two for the price of one offer, visit MyPillow.com or call 800-489-0201 and use the promo code Amy. Do it now, 800-489-0201 or online at MyPillow.com. Promo code Amy, 800-489-0201.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
Well, being an entrepreneur, I always thought that I was a pure capitalist. You know what I mean? I believe that the market should always decide. But then I realized how imperfect traditional capitalism is. Every business does not have equal access to markets, customers, or capital. I started to believe that maybe there was a better way. To talk about this is Gary Douglas, who's an innovator, investor, author, antique store owner, and breeder of Costa Rican horses. He's founder of Access Consciousness. He's got a new book out. It's called Benevolent Capitalism. Gary, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Barry.
That's quite a mix of things that you do, antique store owner and a breeder of Costa Rican horses.
I know. Well, you know, it's like you got to have things to do. Otherwise, what are you going to do?
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us why pure capitalism, in your mind, is not the best way any longer.
Well, it's not that pure capitalism, as it really was designed, was actually about increasing your per heads of stock, okay? So that you had enough stock that you had choices. That's what it was originally. But then it became this sort of, I got to kill everybody else to get mine. I've got to have the majority of the pie, that kind of point of view. And so capitalism has sort of developed into this place where it's always about the bottom line, you know, how you can maximize profits and minimize loss. And the reality is we need to look from a different place. And benevolent capitalism is based on the idea of bene, volent, which is about the best for the most, and about creating a place where you increase your net worth, your wealth, etc. But you do it not based on destroying others and not destroying things, but on the basis of creating within a structure that allows you to create even more. One of the things that I was in the UK. And they were talking about the fact that they were throwing away 100,000 cell phones a month. Okay, throwing them away. And each cell phone has between $2 and $5 worth of silver and gold in it, not to mention copper and other things. But it's like literally we're mining like crazy to get, you know, to get this money. And it's like right there we're throwing the same money away. We need to look from a different way to find out how we can use all the resources we have instead of throwing in resources into landfills and thinking that's good use of our products, of our resources.
So, Gary, is benevolent capitalism like triple bottom line, that kind of stuff, or is it something else?
Well, it's more than just bottom line because, I mean, like, for instance, Whole Foods has this thing of you have to service your whole community, which is the people who provide for you and the people who buy from you, and you are supporting everybody. Now, that's close to benevolent capitalism. Isn't exactly it, but it's close. And it's the idea that, you know, each of us has something we can contribute, and if everybody is allowed to contribute to us, and if we contribute to everybody, then everybody gets better. And that's, you know, I mean, capitalism has been sort of based on, and democracy was based on the idea of everybody gets better. But now it's become, who do we have to get rid of in order to get, you know, to get more? And that's not really what capitalism was all about in the beginning. And that's not what benevolent capitalism is about.
So, Gary, so where do you really start? Because it seems like a lot of companies that, like Whole Foods, that perhaps practice benevolent capitalism, it all starts with making enough profit so you can practice benevolent capitalism. Where do you start as a company? Or does it have to just be ingrained into your culture from the very beginning?
Well, it's like if you take that point of view, then you are going to try and create the profit in order to create, you know, making up for the damage you've done. But if you do as little damage as possible or you do no damage, a different reality can be in existence. one of the things that I've noticed is that there are contractors who come in, they'll take a property that has a bunch of trees on it, they'll cut all the trees down and then plant a bunch of new trees to make up for what they closed down. Had they worked around the old trees, a whole different universe could have been created. And I've worked with developers, I've developed some properties myself, and I always make sure they don't cut down the old trees, because the trees are a major source of stabilizing the earth around us. We need to be aware of how the earth works as well as how we want to make profit. And for most of my life, the people were always saying, well, we got to just destroy this guy in order to get him to work harder. There was a company I worked for where the manager spent 6 hours going over the books to figure out how he could give this guy a salary and save money. He could save $200 a month by giving this guy a salary and still making him do all the things he was doing. A title and a salary to make up for the money. And I would never do such a thing, because for me, it's like you take care of the people that work best for you and work hardest for you. Those are the people you should take care of. And that's the other part of benevolent capitalism. It's about recognizing the people that take care of you, the people you should take care of.
So, Gary, where can you get a copy of the book and learn more about this?
You can go to accessconsciousness.com, and it's there in the bookshop, or you can go to Amazon, and it's on there.
Gary, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
Coming up, why do most webinars, well, let's just face it, they just plain stink. Coming up, I'm going to show you how to get all the prospects you want from your webinars. Is AM 560 The Answer? Be right back.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com Traffic Center.
Good morning, I'm Rich. Taking a look at the roadways. Major problems on the outbound Bishop Ford. Everything is shut down at eastbound 8094, all due to a very serious accident. That's where the tollways are basically shoving you off onto. If you're heading eastbound, that's great. If you need to get onto northbound 294, not so great. Here's your detour to get around that. Take the 159th Street East exit to Torrance. Hang a right onto Torrance. Go down to 8094. Hop on to westbound 8094 to northbound 294. Downtown, watch out for an accident. Lower Wacker in Michigan, also on the Eisenhower. The ramp inbound to Central Avenue closed with an accident. Being a closure is the inbound Kennedy ramp to the outbound Eisenhower closed till 5 p.m. Monday morning with construction. Weather forecast 10 above with a blustery clearing day. 4 above at O'Hare with a wind chill minus 14. Next update's in 15 minutes on AM 560. The answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva, simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
My proudest number is 2005. That's the year I started my business. It was just me for 2 years, and then I hired my first employee.
My proudest number is 20. Last year, I saw a 20% increase in revenue. We got our first six-figure check, too.
My proudest number is 36. That's how many new clients I've signed. And next quarter, I'll double it.
My proudest number is 42. I was 42 when I became one of the 9 million women business owners in the U.S., and I never looked back.
These are your proudest numbers, your landmarks of growth and success. Sage Cloud and Software Solutions help you achieve these milestones by providing deeper insights into all your numbers. So believe in them. Believe in your numbers. See what Sage can do for your business. Visit believeinyournumbers.com today to learn more.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Maltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
Delivering education via webinars for business has become very common these days. Many companies use them to inform their prospects and land new customers. The problem is that most of them, they just plain stink. My next guest has a track record of helping big corporations do this successfully. And for the first time, he is now offering this as a web-based do-it-yourself course, making his knowledge of success available to everyone. Mike Agron is the executive webinar producer for WebAttract, which he co-founded in 2008. He's also an award-winning author, coach, and frequent guest speaker on webinar demand generation's best practices for the American Marketing Association and Content Marketing Institute. Mike, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Barry. Thanks for having me. Delighted to be here.
So I got to ask you, why do most webinars just stink and they don't get the results that the people hope they get?
I know we only have a few moments for the segment, but I could take all hour. I think there's probably several reasons. Number one, people are busy today. And if you're going to ask them to give up their time to attend an event, it better be a must-have. In other words, it's got to be something that's going to help address a pain point they're having in their business or a vexing challenge or tell them how they can get better outcomes. If it's just something that's so-so, they'll delete it and ignore it. And it starts with that. And if we don't start and engage an audience with something that they're going to get value out of, they get bored and they multitask. They check their social media feeds and they're gone. That's probably the first part of it. The second part is people come and they don't prepare. They think I can just phone it in. No pun intended, and people will listen, and that's not true. It takes time. It takes practice to be able to connect with your audience and give them something of value that they'll feel that the time they spent was worthwhile. That's just a couple of the beginning, and also people just don't understand that you've got to be able to use the time in a way that gets people to want to stop what they're doing and listen. So you have to engage them. They don't want death by PowerPoint. They don't want to be read to. They want to be spoken to.
So there's a lot there's a lot of minefields out there because you can get people to sign up, but then historically less than 40% of people actually show up. And then when people show up, they're not necessarily engaged. And the worst part, Mike, is that after they've gone through the webinar, most people don't do anything after that. The business hasn't been able to convert them into a customer. How can you do that part?
Well, there's a couple of things to do there. One of the most valuable parts of a webinar is that it is an event and that you're promoting it over 3 to 4 weeks. And in doing that, you're creating a relationship, albeit virtual, with the people who are registering. And during that time, you can gather what I look at as valuable life cycle intelligence. In other words, who are they? And this is without getting invasive into asking them if they make purchasing decisions, but who are they? What are their interests? What do they want to learn? And you start to develop information. And then when they attend the webinar, you can have them participate in online polls, such as giving them an opportunity to weigh in on a particular subject. You learn things about them, and you have them participate in polls. They may ask live questions. They may fill a survey in. And the point I'm making, Barry, is you'll never meet these people live, chances are, but you can collect a lot of information. And the real work of a webinar is not when you start producing it. It's the day after you've delivered it, because now you need to follow up. And you need to use all of this life cycle intelligence, the metrics and the analytics that you've collected before, during, and after the webinar, to begin to identify which of the people that attended might be sales ready, which of them are going to need more nurturing and more information to move them up on their journey, and which of them aren't qualified. The point is, it's collecting this data and it's following up. A lot of people don't understand the real work is after the webinar is over, and gathering this information can allow you to follow up with different types of lead nurturing or different parts of content, sending them something to educate them, not to sell them. that's probably one of the biggest challenges, and most people just overlook that completely.
So, Mike, with the last minute that we have, you know, you've been doing this for 8 years. You've done it for large corporations where you charge tens of thousands of dollars. You've made millions of dollars for a lot of companies. But now you're really brought it now to the web where people can take this do-it-yourself webinar-ready courses. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, it's not only big companies. Yes, we've done work for a lot of prestigious name brand companies like DHL and Intel and you just name it. You can go on and on. Bosch, Cox Automotive. But we've also done work for a lot of emerging or regional companies that really had something to say. And a lot of those have had million-dollar deals as a result of doing webinars because they really delivered on the promise. Got to thinking, why not take all of our expertise, our secret sauce, our playbook, our methodology, our best practices, our metrics, and teach people how to become a master webinar producer and certify them in that? And so we put together courses that is called How to Be a Master Webinar Producer that teaches you everything you need to know before the webinar, during and after, how to plan it, how to attract an audience once you get the audience, how to keep them engaged, and how to use this life cycle intelligence that I just spoke about to convert them from an attendee to becoming your customer and future advocate. And it's done in such a way that they can do it at their own pace. It's online. They can do it 24/7. It's got exercises. It's got quizzes. It's got even bonus material. We even have live coaching. We even have what we're calling Webinar Wednesdays, where if you subscribe to this course, you can call in and be part of a forum, and it's ask the experts whatever question you have. The most important thing about it is we're absolutely committed to making sure that everybody that takes this course is successful. So we want to provide more than just the courses. We want to be there for them and be their coach.
Mike, thanks so much. We've run out of time. If you want to reach Mike, you can go to www.webattract.com. Mike, thanks so much.
Thanks, Barry.
This is AM560. Answer me right back.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. The biggest trap business owners face is that they are continually flip-flopping their time between working for customers and selling to find new business. As a result, when you are doing the work, the sales activity slows to a crawl. This double helix trap keeps businesses struggling for years. Learn the 7 strategies for breaking this trap. Contact Barry at barry@barrymoltz.com.
If you suffer from depression, consider TMS, an incredible new advancement in treating and relieving depression. Medications may not work and can cause serious side effects.
I'm Jim Marks, a medical director at Theramind Services and a board-certified psychiatrist for over 22 years. If you or someone you love suffers from depression, TMS can change your life. I've witnessed its transformative results in my patients for years.
TMS, or transcranial magnetic stimulation, is a safe, non-invasive, and highly effective treatment for drug-resistant depression. Over 50,000 patients have been helped by TMS. Most insurance companies cover TMS, including Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois and Medicare. Depression can be beaten, and without drugs. Schedule a free consultation with Theramind, with locations throughout Chicagoland. If you suffer from depression, do something about it. Call Theramind, 847-562-5868, or go to tmsmind.com.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Moltz.
Did you ever wonder why certain people can see solutions all around them while others are blind to them? My next guest believes that there are solutions all around us. Bloomberg Business called Dan Castro a serial entrepreneur, but he's been an award-winning author and attorney, has built many different businesses. His latest book is called Hidden Solutions All Around You, Why People Can See Them and Some Can't. Dan, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Barry. Thanks for having me, man.
So why can some people see solutions, other people are just blind to it?
Well, the first thing is that they realize that there are ideas in the air all around us all the time. And as proof of that, this is not just hogwash or positive thinking or anything like that. Throughout history, on different parts of the planet, there have been simultaneous discoveries by different people working independently. And so this is proof positive that there are, in fact, ideas in the air, information that is all around you all the time that you already have available to you within your reach to solve the problem. And as examples of that, these discoveries were made by individuals on different parts of the planet simultaneously working independently. The light bulb, the telephone, the splitting of the atom, the airplane, the steamship, the electric motor, and the typewriter. So the first reason that some people can see solutions that are invisible to others is because they believe this. They accept the fact that the information is already there. They just have to develop a heightened awareness to reach out and grab it. That's one of the reasons. There are many reasons. There's about 300 pages in the book I wrote, so we're just going to cover a few of them.
Sure. But I think that people can find solutions if they're able to make connections between two disparate things. What do you think?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And throughout history, we've seen that as well. When you look for the hidden connection between unrelated objects, you suddenly have a brand new object or a brand new concept. For example, when you combine clay with fire, you have pottery. When you combine a stone and a stick, you have an axe. When you combine sticker burrs and socks, you have Velcro. And more recently in history, when you combine computers with telephone lines, you suddenly have the Internet. And so, you know, people sometimes get stuck because they're looking at things that tend to go together. You know, we're taught to match our clothes. We're taught to have everything coordinated. Our house has to be color coordinated. Our cars and our upholstery has to be color coordinated. But throughout history, the people that we call geniuses were able to see a hidden connection between things that don't even go together, and that's where revolutionary ideas come from, like the Internet, like the smartphone. You combine a telephone and a radio, and boom, smartphone, you know. You got to be looking for things that other people are not looking for.
So how do you make sure that you're open to these kinds of connections and you expect to find a solution?
Well, the first thing is you have to make a choice to believe. You have to choose the power of belief over the power of fear. And the power of belief is an amazing thing. It actually opens the eye of the brain to start seeing solutions that are invisible to other people. And again, this is not just hocus pocus or positive thinking. We know scientifically that when you choose to believe, amazing things happen to your brain. It releases blood, nutrients, and oxygen to the brain, and it also floods our system with dopamine, serotonin, and endorphins. Now, these are not just pseudoscientific names. These are the very hormones and chemicals that give you the confidence and courage to act. You see, belief is not a feeling. Belief is a choice, but it generates these very real hormones and chemicals, and they give you this feeling of confidence and courage. And when you choose to believe, it suddenly opens the eye of the brain to see these creative solutions that are invisible to everybody else.
There's no question about that. The title of the book is called Hidden Solutions All Around You, Why Some People Can See Them and Why Some Can't. Dan, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, Barry.
And thanks for all of you for joining us on Business Sanity Talk Radio. I want to thank our sponsors, Sage One and Nextiva. Special thanks to our booking producer, Sarah Schaffer, and our producer behind the glass, Debbie Schreiner. If you're serious in this new year about getting your small business unstuck, and you got to be, give me a call on my private line, 773-837-8250 or barry@maltz.com. Isn't 2016 the year that you finally move your company ahead? Remember, love everyone, trust a few, and paddle your own canoe. Have a very profitable and passionate week.
You can find Barry on the web at barrymaltz.com. You've been listening to Business Insanity Talk Radio.
For the best price on